started on a new lesson. I just wanted to go over a change we're going to do for this year. We'll see how it goes. It's a small change for the order my steps in the sermon. Okay. The small change is, as you notice, we kind of go through a couple of weeks as we go through a lesson for the sermon itself. And the last one can at times be longer. Okay. On those weeks, I'm going to gauge it. We may not have an order my steps. That's the only change with that. Okay. Just for time's sake, because that one can be so long. We'll skip the order my step on that one. Sometimes it will. It depends on if it's going to stay on time. And if not, I'm going to have to gauge it. I'll be wrong sometimes. I'm letting y'all know ahead of time. So that may happen. The big change is everybody know the assessments that we used to do. Okay. For now, they're done away with. But if you look at the end of your lesson, those who have papers, those who do not have papers, on the back of the usher's table, what exists are questions. Well, for this lesson, it's about 15 questions. Okay. Now, what those questions are, if you remember the assessment, it was three sections. It was knowledge, understanding, and application. This is just the understanding part. And why I do this is as you fill those out, and of course, you have to wait till the sermon is done, and you fill those out and you're answering them, when you get them back to me, I don't grade them or anything. I just look them over to see where your understanding is. Do I need to add or adjust or explain it clear when you give me those back? So it helps me to help you. Okay, that's the reason why we have those. So we will no longer have assessments, but at the end of each lesson, you'll have these questions to see if you're understanding what you're being taught. Okay, so for those of you who do not get the paper, you have a copy of the questions, or you can go to the website and print those out. Amen? Okay, very small changes. And reason why I bring up the changes is at the end of every year, I always rethink, because I give you guys a lot of information, and I know I do, and it's purposely done. Main reason is because my job is to feed the flock. Today, we are not doing that. We kind of get a scripture or two, we say amen, and we go home. And then we get fed by the world over and over and over again. And then we're getting beat up and not realizing why. And it's because we're not taking in as much feed as possible. Now, I encourage you, I'm going to keep on feeding. Okay, take it or leave it, however you want to, but it's for your benefit. And that's the reason why it's given. So, yeah, it is a Bible-rich ministry, and we do it purposely in order to feed you as much as possible. I want it coming out your ears by the time you leave out of here. Amen. I want you to have so much of that word. Remember, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you. How? Richly. Right? So we want to make sure we have so much of it that we got it and that we're going home. We're still checking me. Do not take my words for it. Don't just take the papers for it. Check it. Go into your word and check it. Check any minister that's preaching to you and make sure you give it, you get that, so you're on the right path. Amen. All right. So those are the changes. And now we're on the new lesson. The title is Things That Weaken Sound Teaching. Things That Weaken Sound Teaching. Sound teaching is very important. We're going to see that. But we don't take it as serious today as we should. We tend to go to church for other feelings or other reasons, for feelings, for emotions, but not to get fed like we're supposed to. The purpose of the church is for us to feed the body, to build you up, all of us, in one faith. You see that in Ephesians 4, 11 through 16, okay, where it says the purpose of church. My responsibility is to feed you and to teach you for works of service. In doing so, you have to receive it, but you have one way to receive it that is right, and that's called spiritually. And if you don't do it spiritually, it's going to be confused. So what we've done, and this is man, we've allowed ourselves to replace spirituality with other things. And the Bible shows us these. We're going to go over these four things on what we've been replacing spirituality with, and you're going to see why it's been so confusing. Okay? Once again, a lot of information, so hang in there. Now, the weakening of sound doctrine has been downfall of man from the beginning. So let's read from the beginning. In Genesis 3, 1 to 6, it says, now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? First of all, he adds a question, which should happen to all of us. We get a question. Did the Bible really say? Now, if you're in the Word, you'll know the answer. Look how she answered it. It says, the woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die. Okay, so she's given the it is written. There was a little bit added there, but she's given the it is written. Yep, if we do it, we will die. It should have ended there. Watch what happens. You will not surely die, the serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Now, right there, he now puts a question in this person's head to make them go, oh, really? Instead of going, God said. Did y'all catch this? They're starting to lead you to now think, to look through other eyes than God said. Remember how Jesus handled it. All he said was, it is written. But she responded another way. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom. Now look what she did. And it looks well because she's reasoning it. She's going, well, it makes sense. I hear, even though God said we can eat off the tree, look at all the benefits I get by eating off the tree. So I don't see a problem with it. In fact, I'm going to benefit from it. Now, we may beat her up for it. We may get mad at her for it. You know what I mean? It says she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. So they were wrong. But in their reasoning, in their human reasoning, walking by sight, because she saw and not by what he said, they made a response. They made a decision. Problem is, we do that same thing today. You'll say, the Bible clearly says, so why are you doing this? And they'll give you some fine sounding answer. Think about it, right? We know what the Bible says on a lot of these things. And you hear us go, yeah, but the reason why I do it is because. And no matter what you say after it, unless you say, because God told me I can, you're going to be wrong. Does everybody get this? There is no excuse that God goes, okay, I get it. Go ahead, ignore me. But that's what we still do today. And the main reason we do that is because if not by spirituality, all these other things will justify. And we'll go over what those things are. So this is very dangerous. And it's still happening over and over again today. So what he did was he questions and challenges the word. Now, when I take the word as, remember we read in Order My Steps, firm in the faith. If I say this is God's word and I'm not budging from it, no, you will never allow somebody questioning the word ever to do anything to you. Right? I remember somebody came to me one time and they said, how can you trust the Bible that so many men have touched? And then people go, yeah, that makes sense. But then you already know the Bible says he's the all-powerful God. Do you think the all-powerful God would allow his creation to destroy the word enough that I can't follow it and then tell me to follow it? Do y'all catch that? You know what I mean? It's because of the word why I don't allow some of these excuses people give me for not following the Bible can pass. The Bible is our protection. But he'll make you question and challenge the word. I agree. There are a lot of things that the Bible tells us to do that makes us go, wow, I struggle with that. But I better do it. Does everybody get this? It was not meant for me to readjust and to change. So question and challenge the word. Secondly, gives distorted reason for the word with excuse to ignore it. There are verses in the Bible to this day that it'll tell us to do something. And then you'll hear somebody come along and say, well, we don't do that anymore because. Sounds great, but is that in the Bible? So how do you know what they're saying is true? Amen? How do you know? There's one specifically in the Bible that goes over certain things when it talks about in 1 Corinthians 11, 3 through 11. When you get a chance, read that. And in that one, it talks about it. It talks about hair, and it talks about how that thing works. And our answer that we give, and you'll hear it say in churches, is, well, back in the day, they did it this way because this is how this group looked. And when they had their hair this way, they meant this. All that sounds great. Not in the Bible. So what if we're wrong? What if God said it because God meant it? Do y'all get this? But we just made adjustments. We made the adjustments on our own. So we get these distorted reasons and we follow them. And then we become emboldened to make decisions on the word using sight, not faith. Sight, not faith. There's a verse in the Bible that says, if you do not forgive, your Father in heaven will not forgive you. You got a group of people that said, oh, that doesn't make sense. That can't be it. So we started changing what forgiveness meant. Not the Bible. We did it because we said it's impossible for us to forgive everybody and it's not going to happen. It's not what the Bible says. We did that because we believe it's impossible for us to forgive, while God's saying, no, 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 you must forgive in order to be forgiven. That's a must. Do y'all get this? Okay, so we see these, and we have to understand, so why is it so easy for us to get distorted? We'll talk about that. As a result, the world today, the walk is not matching the doctrine. Let's look at some examples. The worship. There are different forms of worship today with different rules based on the worshiper, not on God. Have you noticed that? We're worshiping based on us, whatever makes us feel good, not based on what he says. He says there's going to come a time, and the time is now, when he's going to have worshipers that must worship in what? Spirit and in truth. Now, we hear that, but then we still make our own way of worshiping. Unfortunately, man is worshiping his way. Now, you heard him say he's looking for worshipers that worship in spirit and truth, but we're still doing our own thing. Why? Why? Secondly, marriage, a common one. We've totally destroyed this sacred union that God has created. Not only has the criteria for marriage changed, the sacredness of the union, the role in the marriage, and the true meaning of marriage are completely ignored. Right? We get divorced without thinking about it. We do things within our marriage, outside of our marriage, without even talking about it. Things happening with marriage, not realizing how dangerous this is, how powerful this is. He even gives us instruction on our roles within the marriage, and we kind of blow it off. We get married to be happy. Right? It's not what the word says. It's nice to be happy, but marriage is something based on God. It represents something stronger, but because of something, we've ignored this. Two other examples. The Bible. The sacred spiritual guidebook of God's word has become optional and is commonly used to support human ideas. It's commonly mixed with other doctrine. Very dangerous. I encourage y'all, even when you read books and stuff like this, make sure they're not using scripture to support them. Make sure that they're just explaining scripture. A common practice is they'll already have an idea and they'll find a scripture here or there to fit their idea and not find what we call sound doctrine to see what God really says on the topic. Okay? One thing, if you notice, I preach topical, in which I take a topic and I try to make sure we cover everything. Why do we do it that way? So you get sound doctrine. If I'm not careful, I'll give you a scripture, and if you left out of here, you just have that scripture, and not having the whole entire picture, it can confuse you or it can lose you. You know, we know a verse that says, ask and you shall receive. Now, if I just gave you that and you left out of here, he said, ask and I shall receive. But there's a verse that says, but you didn't receive because of your motives. Wait, we didn't get there because I only gave you the one scripture. Do you get this? You need sound doctrine. We'll talk about that. All right, but we've taken the Bible and we used it as an option. There are some churches that will teach out of books, some that will get up here and give you a motivational speaking. All of that is dangerously wrong because we have to be led by the word and the word only. And lastly, life. Life has become confusing with many losing faith in God. Some distort their walk. Others just fall away. This is mainly because man has distorted what it means to have faith in God. We have allowed our sight to dictate our faith. A lot of us today are doing stuff because of what we see, or we're not doing stuff because of what we see. Think about your walk. As long as things are going well, you're like, praise God, hallelujah, I'm going to do it. The minute something fails, well, God understands. I'm not doing this anymore. I'm going to start doing this instead. And it's a common practice in which we keep doing it based off of what we see, not off of what he says. Amen? So let's get an understanding of why this is happening. How are we allowing this to happen? One big thing everybody must know is this. It must be complete, unadulterated word. Now, what do I mean? You can't take away from it, and you can't add to it. The Bible is meant to stand on its own, and it complements itself. It doesn't contradict. It complements. It says in Titus 2:1, you must. Everybody say must. So this is mandatory, something that I as a teacher must do. I must do what? Teach what is in accord with sound doctrine. Not just doctrine, sound doctrine. Just like the example I gave you, I can't just give you a scripture. I have to give you everything that supports that so you understand it. Does that make sense? Okay. And now you have to demand that from who's teaching to you and what you're learning and what you're studying. The Bible tells us this. You must teach. Mandatory. If God comes down here and I only gave part of it, I'm in trouble. All right? I'm going to give you all of it, and then it's up to you to take that in. Amen? So knowing this, we've allowed stuff to come in to distort this, to take away sound teaching. Now, what you're going to find is Christians are going to use some of these other things in order to get part of the teaching to feel better about themselves, but to still be misled. He shows us this. In fact, God prophesied us inviting and accepting false teachers and teachings. He told us this was going to happen. Watch what he says. 2 Timothy 4:3-5. For the time will come when men will not put up with what? Sound doctrine. Okay? He said, man will not put up with sound doctrine. And now, even though the church is messing up in this, he didn't say the church won't. He said, man won't. In other words, man's like, I hear what the Bible's saying, but I'm sorry, I don't agree with it. I like this scripture, but I don't like this. How many of you have your favorite scriptures, and how many of you have the scriptures you're not going to follow? And it shouldn't be that way. It should be, I follow what the Bible says, period. Not bits and pieces here. He says, the time comes when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Watch what they do. And tell me if you don't see this. Instead, to suit their own desires. Or why was I going to either lower the order of my steps or shorten the sermon for people's desires? I could not get a spiritual reason for doing it. I get a whole lot of desires. People are like, oh man, it's shorter. I got a lot more stuff I can do. I don't have to try to take in all that information. Instead of, no, no, Pastor, we need all of this. You should be demanding it from us to give it to you. But instead, we're living for our desires. It says to suit their own desires. They will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. So it's no longer you coming in here and you hearing what God says. You want to come in here and I got to give you what you want to hear. It becomes entertainment, right? It becomes, how do I keep your attention? Before I got in the ministry, one of the things I prayed for was, God, what do I need to do to keep their attention? And very clearly, he said nothing. Why? If you have to keep their attention, do you ever catch this? Right? That's a problem. We need to pursue him. He did everything. Now we pursue him. Now when I have these excuses of not, and I have to keep your attention, it just makes matters worse. Because if I have to keep your attention, somebody else can pull it away. Right? But when you're solely committed to God, nothing will pull you from him. But that's what you have to understand. They'll gather great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. We got a lot of things we're doing that are not in the Bible, and we do it as if they're Christian things. We're going to talk about a lot of those things throughout this lesson. It says, but you, this is what we're supposed to do. This should be for all of us as Christians. Keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Endure means go through it, deal with it. There's a reason why you're going through it. Do the work of an evangelist. An evangelist travels. That's why you can't be a pastor and an evangelist. You have to be either or. Okay, a pastor is meant to be in the church. He is the shepherd of that building. You understand? Evangelist travels. All of us play a part of an evangelist. When you leave out of here just driving on the street, you're an evangelist. You go to the supermarket, you're an evangelist. When you go to your job the next day, you're an evangelist. In other words, how you are, how you treat people, how you react, you are now ministering. So do the work of the evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. That's our responsibility. I don't have a day off. I don't have a time off. My life is my ministry. Your life is your ministry. So we can't allow our desires to dictate our ministry. Amen? All right, I guess. But it's dangerous how we can so easily be misled, right? So, and once again, he's showing us how we do this. Okay, this is a problem that we have. 2 Corinthians 11:2-4 says, I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. So we see Paul telling those in Corinth, I'm struggling here. He's saying, I'm watching you guys, and I see something happening. Watch what he says. He says, I promised you to one husband, to Christ, so that I might present you as pure virgin to him. So he's saying, as an apostle, as a minister to the church, he's saying, I'm ministering to you to present you to Christ, right? And he says, I'm doing it as a pure virgin. That means I'm giving you just the word, nothing else. He said, but watch this. He says, but I am afraid that just as Eve was deceived, and we just read and saw how that was, by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray. Because watching people, even though they hear the word, are doing this other thing over here. Responding to this other thing over here. Applying this other way over here. Why are you still doing that when you know what the Bible says? Explain that. Give an understanding of that. Okay? It says, be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. This is what we all should have. Sincere, and I'm going to show you how man distorts real definitions. Sincerity in the world means if I feel it, then I mean it, right? Isn't that how you usually say, I'm not going to apologize until I feel it. Remember, your feelings are dangerous. We're going to talk about that. Your feelings are based on your flesh. Sincere means because God said it, I'm going to do it. Sincerity is nothing will get in the way. You see me completely doing it because of God. I may not feel it at all, but I'm going to do it because he said so. Do y'all get this? That's sincere. And the word pure, anytime you see word pure in the Bible, it means, once again, complete, unadulterated word. It completely comes from the word of God, not me adding or taking away from it or ignoring or giving some excuses for. I'm giving you the word. He says, now here's the danger here. He says, for if someone comes to you and preaches a Jesus other than the Jesus we preach, or if you receive a different spirit from the one you receive, or a different gospel from the one you accepted, and he's saying this has happened to all of us, watch what we do, you put up with it easily enough. In other words, you hear a sermon, it may be wrong, most won't check it, and if we do check it, we'll go, oh well, and we'll say amen. We'll like what was said, we'll hold on to it. We don't check anything today, not realizing you're responsible for what you get, right? I mean, when you get your medicine, hopefully you do read it, when it says, do not take this with, right? Or do you just throw it in your mouth and take it? You understand that? Some people do that foolishly and it hurts them. Sometimes it can kill them. And we're doing it with by far the most important thing in our lives. We're given this word, right? An instruction of what we're supposed to do. And then somebody will come in and give you something that you like to hear. And instead of you checking it, you'll go, yeah, amen, I like that. He didn't ask if you like it. He asked if it was right. Do y'all get this? Okay? Please be careful of that. But we put up with it easily enough. So we're in this time where we're allowing stuff to be preached that's not based on God's word. So you have to understand something. The reason this is happening is because we have moved spirituality out the way. If we're spiritual, this would not happen because spirituality makes us do what Christ did. And we would just go, it is written. God said it. That settles it. Right? But there's something else we keep applying and adding to or getting rid of to spirituality. It says the reason there seems to be so many varieties of Christianity and most are not in line with God is because we have allowed ourselves to inadvertently replace spirituality with one or a combination of the following: ignorance, emotions, intellect, and culture. Okay? We've allowed one of these things to replace spirituality or to work with. We'll talk about that. They are, watch this, that all of these are God-given attributes that we all need in life. So I'm not saying any of these are bad. All of these you're going to see God gave us. But like with anything else, if used not based on God, they will be dangerous and at times fatal. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a journey through these four things. Okay, and as you go through the word, they're going to fall under one of these things of what we've been using. And what I'm hoping you'll see is saying, wait a minute, the spirituality I'm supposed to have, I replaced it with. And then you can go back to spirituality. Does that make sense? Hopefully you'll see, wait a minute, this has always been, okay? And so just so you understand that. So the first one we're going to go over is ignorance. Ignorance. And ignorance is important in certain cases. We'll show you where it's important, okay? But this is what we've done. Ignorance is lack of knowledge or understanding, okay? I'll give you a simple definition of it. Lack of knowledge or understanding on something, okay? And the Bible shows us concerning ignorance, 1 Peter 1, 14 through 16. He says, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desire you had when you lived in what? Ignorance. Now, before we were Christians, we lived in ignorance. We went based off of what we felt, not off of what he said, because we were ignorant to it, right? He was like, now stop doing it, Christians. Now you have full access to the word, cut it out. Go to his word. He's saying, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. So it's not something that happens to me. It's something I'm responsible for doing. All right. So what does it mean to be holy? The word tells me that. How can I live holy? The Bible shows me this, right? It says, for it is written, be holy because I am holy. That's a command. Are we holy? Have you been living holy is the question you have to ask. If not, you're still allowing yourself to live in ignorance. Let's look at some definitions of ignorance. Most ignorance is due to men hardening their hearts. A hardened heart, other than in some special cases, is by you. It's a stubbornness to either go a way that you want to go based on you, how you want to do it. It says in Ephesians 4, 17 through 19, so I tell you this and insist on it, in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do. Now remember, there's two groups that exist, Jews, Gentiles, okay? And he's not saying live as the Jews do, because the Jews have learned, okay, now we're Christians. And as he's talking to the people in Ephesus, he's telling them, because that was a Gentile nation. Anybody in the definition of a Gentile is not a Jew. That's the best definition you can get, okay? If you're not an Israelite, then you're a Gentile, okay? So he's saying to them, but don't live as the Gentiles did. They lived off their own laws, lived off their own gods, and all this other stuff. He says, now stop doing that. He says, in the futility of their thinking. They reasoned. They thought things looked good. And as we get to the one thing, intellect, you're going to see that's what's happening to Christianity today. We've allowed intellectual people to come in and distort the word. He was like, no longer living based on how you see it. A lot of times how you'll reason, I'll have people come into me and they'll explain to me how they're going to ignore the Bible. They don't say it that way, but they'll give me this long definition of how, why they shouldn't do it, how them and God have some special, you know, agreement. No, it's all wrong. And I was like, you know, you're walking yourself in danger. You're really setting yourself up when he gives you the answer. He's called the way for a reason. And you're trying to convince me, hey, can I go another way? And the end is going to be a disaster for you. He says they darken their heart, in the futility of their thinking, they are darkened in their understanding and separate from the life of God. Why? Because of the ignorance that is into them due to the hardening of their hearts. Now, hardening of, how can I harden my heart? Every Christian should rend your heart or tear your heart to go in here and to the God's word and say, I want exactly what he's going to tell me. All right? And I wish we were that way. I'm going to show you what we do. We go, I have a whole bunch of stuff that I'm going to live by and I'm never changing. But I got another 50% maybe God can help me with. Some of you is 30%. Some of you is 10%. Whatever it is, you're saying a whole bunch of this I'm holding on to because that's just the way I am and there's nothing wrong with it. But God, just help me with the rest of it. And that's where we're blowing it, because you hardened your heart to be changed by God. He's supposed to have all of my heart. I'm supposed to change everything. Did y'all get that? Then why, as Christians, are some of us still acting like we did before we were Christians? And I'm talking about 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, whatever years, we're still these Christians. And somebody say, oh, you haven't changed a bit. That's not a compliment. Do y'all get this? All right. We should be shining a light because we gave him all of our hearts, not just the portion we thought was bad. Do y'all get this? Right. Here is everything. You either give him all or none. That's your only two choices. There is no in between. OK, so he says it's due to the hardening of your hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with continual lust for more. And this sensuality is not just talking about sexual sensuality. It's talking about just a lust for stuff. What I want. If I want it, I should have it. I mean, if you're not careful, a lot of you are basing your relationship with Christ on what you have or don't have. God, I'll follow you if you give me, right? You know, some of us make this mistake today with our children. We bribe our children to do what they're supposed to do. Go do this. If you do, I will give. You already blew it, right? Okay? God doesn't do that with us. Why are we doing it with our children? Amen? It's something that we have to understand, that we are allowing ourselves to still live for our desires and still call ourselves Christians. But you're fooling yourself when you do that. So ignorance comes from a major part of us hardening our hearts. When you finally let go, and I was Christian since, like I said, 15, 16, 17, around that age, but I didn't finally give him all my heart to my early 20s. So all those years in between, I would call myself Christian, but I was still Keith. Do y'all get this? And a lot of Keith still stuck in there because it was like, I'm cool with this part. You just need to change this, God. right? Just change this. And when things were not working out and I didn't understand and I was confused and I was thrown tossed here and there, why? It's because I didn't give him all. Amen? Unfortunately, ignorance is bliss. That's another reason we stay ignorant. Ecclesiastes 1:18. So God knows this. I know sometimes we're like, well, God, the more I know, I'm frustrated. Guess what? God knows that. He says, for with much wisdom comes much sorrow. So you're being warned. Okay? You're going to hear some things. You're not going to like it. Why? Because the flesh wants to please you. But the downfall of man is we were living to please self, not to live for God. It says the more knowledge, what? The more grief. Right? And there's nothing after that to make you feel better. He didn't go, but get this. No, I'm sorry. That's the word. Do y'all get this? Okay? You're stuck with that. Now, with knowing that, you brace yourself. You go, okay, I'm going to get some stuff. I don't care for hearing, but thank you, God, for telling me. Right? And think about it. As a child, there were certain things you were told as you were growing up, and the ones who listened, when you got older, you say, man, I'm glad I listened to that. I didn't like what I heard, but man, that was the best advice they gave me. And those who didn't say, man, I wish I would have listened. Right? I wish I would have listened. Now it's too late. Right? And this, what God letting you know, you're going to hear some things that the word is going to give you, you're not going to like. So we like being ignorant because then I can do the stuff I like and then say, but I didn't know. I'm letting you know right now. Now you know that you're supposed to know. So I blew it. So it's all gone for all of you. So you can't use that as an excuse. Now, there are times ignorance is a part of God's will. This is how we're supposed to know. Anytime you see this star up here, that's going to be the ones in which it was given to us for. Okay? And please don't be like those people. I know they were getting on a conversation of some drug that people were using. And I remember the comment the one guy said, well, God made it, so why did he make it for if we can't do it? And I remember the comment I made to him, he made poisonous berries and skunks too, so why aren't you eating and smoking that too? You know? Oh, then it makes you think. But do you notice how we can distort something to make it fit our agenda? Do you understand it? Yes, God made it. But here's the reason why. In Deuteronomy 29:29, God says, the secret things belong to the Lord, our God. So there are certain things that are happening he's not going to give us to because they belong to him. It says, but the things revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may follow all the words of this law. So there's certain things God gives to us. He explains, he's very clear on it. And other things he gives to us, and he says, because I said so. Do y'all get it? And you just go, amen. I can't see it, but thank you, God. Do y'all get this? You read in Psalms and in Job where they both said there are things that are too wonderful for me. Basically, you can explain it to them, but it's like me trying to explain taxes to, you know, my grandkids. No, it's like me explaining my taxes to me. Either which way, you just don't get it. You know, you're sitting there going, you know what I mean? You explain something and you know, you understand, you're kind of, well, I have no idea what you're talking about. You can't understand. It's way beyond our understanding. So that's where we just trust God. So he did give us ignorance in certain cases. Certain cases, I just have to trust him. You know, this is one of the verses that helped me to accept and understand that verse where he says, let not your heart be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. Why does he say that? I was like, well, that didn't help. Until I understood, he's saying, you don't get it. You don't see it. Trust me. Do y'all get this? Trust me. And trust is an act. Trust is an action. I'll still keep living his way, even though it doesn't seem like it's working. Even though it doesn't feel like it's going in the right way, I'm still doing what he says. Why? Because I trust him. Right? Joseph could have changed at any moment and gone, I'm stuck in jail. I did everything I was supposed to. I'm hanging out with these guys now. No more serving God. I'm stopped. No, no, but he continued to serve the Lord. Why? Because he trusted him. But it never explained. He knew exactly what God was doing. It did not say that. Okay? Ignorance at times is due to only getting half the story. I was explaining this earlier. Now watch. Jesus even showed how we're supposed to deal with this. Matthew 4:5-7. Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. And watch, he questions him. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down. Now watch what Satan does. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against stone. Is that in the Bible? Yeah. So Satan used the Bible to try to get Jesus to do something wrong. Did y'all catch that? He used scripture. A scripture. Jesus didn't go, no, that's wrong. right? It's in Psalm, I think Psalm 92 or Psalm, somewhere in Psalms, that what he just said is in there. But watch what Jesus did, and this is where sound doctrine is so important. Jesus answered him, "It is also written." Did y'all catch that? This is why I got to know the Bible, not just a scripture. Y'all see that? All right. So if I just give you a scripture, and I just said that, Jesus would have gone, you know, and a lot of us would have done this if we're not following the word. Oh, okay, I'll go do it to prove to you. Right. And we do that today. Somebody gives you a scripture. You think you got the Bible, and you go out and you do something foolish, and you're going, "God, why is this happening to me?" Because you're only going off of one and not all of it. Sound. He said, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Y'all see how it complements each other. It says this can happen, but don't you do it. Right? Okay? But you'll see how sound doctrine works. All right? Know all the scripture on that topic before you go out throwing scripture at people. Because we tend to do it, not realizing you do know there's some other stuff in there you need to know before you say it. Because you have a lot of Christians that are hurting because they, you know, in prosperity ministries, they only give you the ones that tell you, you ask, you're going to get everything you want. And you got some brokenhearted Christians that are going, "But I keep asking, how come I didn't get? How come it didn't work for me?" Because that's not all it said. Read all of it. Right? And when it says knowledge comes grief, a lot of the prosperities will go, oh, so it's not. Do y'all get this? Okay, so understand, please don't just get half the story. Study your word. There are going to be times I'm going to give you some of the scripture, and you're going to need to go study to find the rest of it. And I don't mind. I am definitely open to a person going, "Pastor, when you said this last week, but the Bible also says," I want you to do that. Hold me accountable. Don't just take my word for it. Do y'all get this? All right. Fools reject understanding. Now, we know in the Bible it says we are not to call anybody a fool. Y'all do know that, right? Hopefully y'all do know that. I still hear people call people fools. You're not supposed to call people idiots either. Believe me, that's what raca means, okay? That verse tells you don't call them raca, or you'll be in danger of hellfire. The other one, don't call somebody a fool, you'll be in danger of the Sanhedrin. In other words, we are not allowed to do that. He defines the fool for us. Okay, he's saying, if I'm doing this, then I'm the fool. Here's one of the things. Proverbs 18:2, a fool finds no pleasure in understanding. I don't care what you do to them. They're living for their pleasures. So they don't want to hear the truth. They want to hear what they want to hear. Y'all get this? Okay, and as I minister, I don't come up here and say they got to get this. Mine is, I hope they get this. My job is to make sure I'm giving you the word, but you're going to have some that are going, "I don't have time for this. I got other things to do." Some won't come to church at all. Some, when they come to church, they're not here because they're thinking of everything else. They're kind of, when is he going to stop talking, right? And we just have every, or you're thinking of what's going to happen during the week, right? If you paid the attention you do here at your job, you'd be fired a long time ago, right? If we're being honest. He's saying fools do this. They find no pleasure in understanding, but delights in airing his own opinions. Now, I'm going to show you something here. I know you may say, "Well, if I don't find pleasure, it's not my fault." See, the worldly way of pleasure is based on your flesh. The godly way of pleasure is based on God. Did y'all know that blessed means happy? Okay, for you that did know that. So when it says, "Blessed are they," it's saying, "Happy are they." And I know some of you are reading that going, "Well, I'm not happy." No, no, no. He didn't ask how you felt. He's telling you what you are. Okay, so when a person knows this, they lean upon Christ, and then they're blessed. He's saying that's true happiness. We've allowed ourselves to be so warped, we based it on the flesh. Only when I feel this way, I am. If you see somebody who drinks or gets drunk or is on drugs, to them, they're in heaven. And everything about them is being destroyed. Because they think they're happy instead of God telling us when we're happy. Amen? It says, so a fool finds no pleasure in understanding because a fool's depending on himself, but delights in airing his own opinion. I want you to hear what I have to say, even though everything I have to say is foolishness. Even Jesus himself said, "You won't hear what I have to say. I only tell you what the Father has to say." Do y'all ever think about that? So what makes you think your opinion is going to be any better than that? Right? But we tend to think we still have this idea, wait till you hear what I have to say, instead of realizing, tell me what God has to say. But fools rush and give what they want. When we don't live being alert, we can be infected by ignorance of false teaching. It will spread. So we just talked in order of my steps of being alert. Remember, I said it's a big part of God's protection for you, but I have to be it. Okay. Now, if I'm alert by my sight, it's going to be based on me. I know that person is trying to hurt me or that person is trying to do this to me. It's all based on me. That's not the alertness he's talking about. Spiritual alertness would make a Christian get in a situation and go, ooh, I better be careful. This friend of mine I'm getting a little too close to. This situation I'm in is a little too dangerous. This job I'm starting to worship. Did y'all get this? Your alertness spiritually would go, for me to stay in God, I need to stay away from this. You know what I mean? A Christian who is alert will watch a television show and say, I shouldn't be watching this. But they'll do that. It won't me getting up here going, you know you shouldn't be watching. I wouldn't have to do that because that's based on your alertness. Do y'all get this? Okay, but if you're not, it says in Galatians 5, 7 through 9, he's speaking to the Galatians. He says, you were running a good race. He was like, you guys were, you know, walking in the way that you're supposed to. You were growing in the word. He says, who cut in on you and kept you from obeying the truth? In other words, who came to you and said, hey, you don't have to do this? And why did you listen to him? He's saying that kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. He's saying it didn't come from Christ. So where did you get this answer? Now, if you stop and you watch your life and some of the things that you allow in your life, where'd you get it from? It should be the question. What gives you the permission to do what you're doing? Why are you doing this something? And unless you say, well, because the Bible says, you're on dangerous ground. Did y'all get that? Okay, because think of it this way. I have to answer to God one day, and his question is going to go, so Keith, why'd you do that? And if I don't go because you said, everything else I said is foolishness. Did y'all get this? Amen. So my answer has to be, oh, because you said. And that's it, plain and simple. He's like, that kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. A little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. Now, that term, what he's using there, is yeast represents sin. That's why when we take communion, we get those, well, we call it bread, but it's crunchy. And you're like, why do I have crunchy bread? You know what I mean? Because there's no yeast. The yeast represents sin, and you remove the sin. Remember, it represents his body, and it has no sin. Okay, but what he's saying about yeast is you just, anybody who bakes, I don't bake, my family bakes, and y'all can tell, but when they bake, they put yeast, just a little bit of yeast, when they do it from scratch, and it grows, am I right? You just need just a touch of it. He's saying, if I can just get a little bit of sin, you know what I mean, just give you a little bit of okay, if I came here and just told you one thing, hey y'all, it's okay too, and that's all I said, everything else I said was right, just that little bit starts spreading. Well, if it's okay to do that, then I should be able to do it. And I can also, and that's where we're at today. If you look at some of the stuff the churches are accepting, they got distorted because somebody added just a piece. I don't see a problem with this. Have you ever heard that? The Bible will say something, but they'll go, ah, God can't mean that. God doesn't care about just a little bit. And that's what he's saying is happening. Somebody cut in and they allowed just a little bit, and now it's spread and people are being more and more ignorant. We should be rushing every day to study our word because this is your lifeblood. It should go, I have questions. God, I want to know about it. I'm going to study. Instead of, yeah, I did read last Thursday. What'd you read? I have no idea. Right? Now, ask them about a novel. Man, they'll tell you the whole novel. Some of these shows we binge watch. Man, we put a lot of attention to stuff we like, not to the stuff we need. Especially here in our country, we have more than enough time to put in to spending time with God. Why aren't we doing it? Amen? All right. I heard a quiet amen. Yeah, I know. Y'all getting better. You're getting there. Pretty soon you'll be like, amen, Pastor. That's right. But I don't know, it's not happening today. The word we receive is precious, and we must be treated as precious. When you start treating the word as sacred. Now, y'all remember the story of Uzzah and the Ark of the Covenant? And as it was rocking, he went to stop it. And what happened to him? He died, right? God struck him down. God saw his irreverent act. That was something that God said was sacred. God lets us know his word is sacred. So then why do we treat it as this optional book that's nice to read, that says stuff that we like to hear, instead of us going to get the knowledge that we need? 2 Timothy 1, 13 to 14 says, what you heard from me, keep as a pattern of sound teaching. Now, as one of God's teachers in his word, Paul is telling Timothy, keep this, follow just this word. He said, with faith and love in Christ Jesus. I have to add the faith and love ingredient. Remember, that's righteousness. All right. I have to totally be in him. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. The information that's given you, guard it. Make sure somebody doesn't come in and distort it. I hear somebody that's reading and teaching the word. Next thing you know, they're coming with some weird stuff. And you're like, where'd you get this from? Because they allowed. And the key is you have the ability to allow. People are going to say some stuff that sound good. And if you don't go back and check the word, you'll start preaching that. And it's nonsense. And it's dangerous. He says, guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. So God gives everything we need to just take his word. And when I started learning that, all I had to say, and I'm telling you, this works. I'm no brilliant man out here with a whole lot of degrees and all this stuff. No. All I had to say was, so where's that in the Bible? It fared me well. People give me these things. I've heard somebody give me this whole story on how they're doing this with God, and they explain the whole thing. I said, man, that sounds great. Can you show me that in the Bible? And that's all it was. I just need you to show me that in the Bible. Then we're good. You can't show me in the Bible, I can't do it. And it'll blow your mind on how so many things is going to answer because he gave us what we need. The Holy Spirit will give you understanding of it, but you have to do it. If I just take these fantastical stories because they throw God and Jesus in it and just say, oh, man, I'm going to accept it, I'm in danger because I didn't check it. Amen? All right, that's better. The unspiritual are automatically ignorant. Now, know this. Okay, this is why it's wrong for me to go out into the world and just preach what I'm preaching here. If somebody is not a Christian, they won't understand this at all. Not only won't they understand it, they can't. Look what he says here in 1 Corinthians 2:14. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are what? Foolishness to him. That's why I can't just go take the Bible and preach something to somebody. When I preach godly marriage, the people of the world, they look at me and go, who can do that? Nobody can do that. I was speaking to some parents one time and I said, okay, you got to teach your children they get no sex before marriage. And they all look at me like, who's going to follow that? It was foolishness. Now, we're talking about Christianity and I'm talking to them and they look not through their spiritual minds. They start looking through their fleshly minds. Oh, kids are going to do what they're going to do. No, you can train them the way they're supposed to go. Amen. The Bible teaches us this. But when you're not spiritual, it'll be foolish to you. You'll start giving these excuses. Well, they're doing the best they can. No, they're not. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Then how come I'm just doing the best I can on this thing? Right? So he says it's foolish to him. He, what's his word? Cannot understand them because they are spiritually discern. In other words, I need a translator. When I read the Bible, when I hear preaching that comes from the Word of God, it better be translated. Somebody has to tell me, and that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. If I'm not being led by the Spirit, I won't get it. You hear the stuff that's being taught, and you'll go, that's nonsense. Absolutely. Absolutely. To the person who doesn't have it. In fact, God uses the term foolish, you'll see this later in the study, for the preaching. When it comes to understanding, he says he calls it foolishness, not because it is, but because that's how the world sees it. Remember, they're sitting there going, all right, let me get this straight. God came down here, then died. Makes no sense. Spiritually, we get it. Emotionally, intellectually, just the whole fleshly, makes no sense. How did he remember? That's why I remember the Jews were expecting another David. They wanted this warrior to come to save them from the Romans, beat up everybody and just be this king that when they looked at, he was handsome. He was powerful. Jesus came down here and Isaiah told us he wasn't much to look at. In fact, he didn't stand out in the crowd. And, you know, I mean, at times you've seen him run from certain things and he's very powerful, but not to their definition of power. And as a king, how did he protect them? He died. That made no sense until you're spiritual. When you're spiritual, it's like, wow. So you must be led by the Spirit. You have to understand that the Bible supports spirituality. Use all these other things, it's going to be foolishness to you. Ignorance is a dangerous choice. Everybody say choice. Watch what Hosea says, because Hosea is inspired to say, it is a choice. Ignorance is a choice you make. In Hosea 4, verse 6. It says, my people are destroyed from lack of knowledge. Now, we stop there and we like to recite that as if it's something that happened to them. Right? We like to play it as if the ignorance is something that happened to me. I was walking down the street and somebody hit me with ignorance. You know what I mean? That's what we like to think. I became the victim. But it's not what he says. Read on. It says, because you have rejected knowledge, I also reject you as my priest. Because you have ignored the law of your God, I also ignore your children. Oh, it didn't happen to me. I chose it. Right? Remember, this is one of the verses that comes back to me. Why do I give you so much when you guys come here on Sunday? Because this is limited. I have most of you. Limited time. So I'm going to give you too much. Why? Because I'm hoping you'll say, I need this. And not go and reject it. And that's what we do. We have made our churches, just give me a little bit so I can go back out in the world and get a lot. Right? Think about that. Right? You're done with after I'm talking about something here because I don't want to hear no more of this. But I'm going to watch a whole day of football. Now we're going to mourn because football season is just about over. Right? But we'll watch the whole entire day of that. Or we'll read all these books. Or we'll study all what's on television. Or we'll do all this stuff that we want to get into. But when it comes to the word, I don't need all that. I'm getting tired, Pastor. All right? I remember when I was younger, and I used to go to church, and I just couldn't stay awake, and I was like, man, I'm struggling. The minute we went out, for some reason, the sleep went away. I was ready to hang out all day. What just happened? It must have been the pastor's fault. Amen? Instead of realizing, no, because we lean into our desires, not into what we need. When I got that, man, I didn't care what it was. I got a good night's sleep next day. I came in there. People were talking. I was like, I can't sit with y'all if y'all keep talking. I got to get this. It turned into I have to get this. But we keep rejecting. He says, because you have rejected knowledge. The lines of rejecting it is not going to church, not studying your Bible. When you don't understand, not asking questions, not taking advantage of things we have access to. We're in a country that we have small groups, Bible studies, and time galore. What are you doing with that? Amen? And we have DVRs, so you can't even use your shows coming on, right? You can just tape it and still have time to get together, study, pray, do all the stuff that you're supposed to, right? We have all this stuff, no excuses. Knowledge is grief, right? Noah said, all right. Don't blame me, it's the Bible. It is our responsibility to assess what we are being taught. Okay, so now I'm teaching you all this. You guys taking notes, you have the paper, you have all this. Your responsibility is now to check. When you go home, you're supposed to check me. The Bible says in 1 John 4:1-3, dear friends, do not believe every spirit. So just because it's a church, just because everybody in there is saying amen, just because they have the Bible in front of them, doesn't mean what they're teaching you is right. You have to test it. It says, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. So he's going to give us the answer. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. Now, what it doesn't say is just says. It doesn't say if the Spirit says this, then they are from God. No, no. Acknowledges means everything that is based on is showing Christ, which is New Testament, which is Bible. Remember, he is the Word. Remember, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So he is the Word. He is the way, the truth, and the life. So everything that the Word is saying, as long as a person is acknowledging Christ came in the flesh, is from God, but every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. Do y'all get this? When they distort what the Word is saying, when they either distort who Jesus was or remove Jesus, I remember one of my son's friends even said that. He said, I'm a Christian. He said, but I don't go through Jesus. I go straight to God. And I think he made himself sound, and I told my son, no, absolutely not. He says, the only way you can get to the Father is through him. So he's thinking, I just bypassed him. Do you understand that? You have to have Christ. It says, this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. The problem is, we still keep accepting these that are not acknowledging Christ. Well, how, Pastor? They're talking about Jesus. They go to the Bible, but they're telling you to ignore major parts of the Bible. They're telling you, oh, you don't have to do this anymore, but they're not checking with Christ. They're giving you an answer that you like to hear, and you're not checking them. Test everything that you're being taught. And we see in 1 Thessalonians 5:21-22, test a few things. the things that get on your nerves, things you don't care for too much, right? Do y'all see this? Okay, the word everything. Everybody say everything. And that includes what? All things. Test everything. Test everything. You can either love me or hate me. Better test me. Better take this back, and I'm going to study this, and we're going to make sure, get in your groups and say, this stuff we just went over, is this all in the Bible? Is it in line with what God said? Test everything. I don't care how brilliant somebody is. I don't care what they said they have. They teach you something. Once again, I got to check it in the Word. Remember the Bereans? That's what they said the Bereans did. They said they were more noble than the Thessalonians. Why? Because they listened intently to what Paul was saying, but they checked him every day to see if what he said was true. Check. My feelings won't be hurt. Even if my feelings were hurt, check me. Do you understand that? Check me, please, by all means. Test everything, and then one of two things. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. Because we're not testing things, we're calling certain things that are evil good, and we're dismissing things that are good as evil. I see it happen every day. Christians are doing certain things. Oh, we've always done that. But the Bible says, yeah, but we don't follow that anymore. Based on what? Why are you doing this? Why? He said why. So we got to test everything. We're going to stop there. The next one will be emotions, God willing. Amen? All right. Let us stand.